Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the First and Gold podcast. My name is Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Longa. And we get ready to preview a Purdue traveling to Madison, Wisconsin this weekend, a place that gives a lot of Purdue fans nightmares, a team that Purdue has really struggled against. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll highlight a little bit of Purdue basketball as well, as they wrapped up media day on Thursday, October 3rd. And then we'll highlight the Purdue volleyball team and their upcoming games this weekend. But first, Sim, how are you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm nervous about this weekend, and not in the sense of like, I guess not in the traditional way of being nervous. I'm just nervous. I'm anxious because, you know, obviously you want to see what happens with this offense. But yeah, I mean, like you alluded to in you know, in the intro, man, like this playing Wisconsin, especially up in Madison, just historically, there've been a lot of ass whoopings that have taken place there. So you know, obviously don't want that to happen on Saturday.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about Wisconsin. They come into this matchup 2-2. Like the Boilermakers, they have struggled a little bit, albeit they have faced far stiffer competition. They've lost their past two games against Alabama and at USC. And like Purdue a little bit, and Sim, you can kind of speak to this, but they almost seem like a team that is struggling on offense. They stay in the games early, and then it seems like, just like how we've talked about what happens to the Purdue defense, they tend to kind of wear down in the second half, and that's where games kind of get away from them there.
Yeah, man. Just looking at the game against USC, they're actually up at half in that game, and then, you know, give up 28 in the second half, don't score, you know, losing the turnover battle in that game as well. It's the same issue they had against Alabama. So yeah, it seems as though offensively they are a bit challenged. Obviously, it's all relative. I mean, you play, you know, Wisconsin and you play Alabama and USC back to back. Those are two, you know, mediocre teams. Those are two, you know, two of the best teams in the country. So it wasn't like necessarily you're expecting them to be juggernauts, but obviously, like, yeah, like you said, they do seem to be struggling a bit on offense. And defensively, it seems kind of like, yeah, they're kind of in the same boat as us, is that they really need that complementary football to kind of make sure that, you know, everything's staying on schedule offensively. Obviously, the defense is going to be able to give you a good effort. And so, yeah, it's just they're kind of in the same boat that we are. I would say that we're probably in like a worse position. Obviously, like anytime you have to like turnover in your staff, clearly it's not like everything, even though, like, clearly there's more that's going on with your team than with Wisconsin. And I'm not aware of any type of personnel changes they've had from a coaching standpoint.
No, I'm not either. They are coached by Luke Fickell. I believe this is his first year back. Fans might recognize that name, the former Ohio State football coach. But yeah, they struggle on offense, just like the Boilermakers do. Just looking at the stats, they're actually points per game just a hair worse than Purdue, which is hard to imagine. The Boilermakers come in averaging 21.8 points per game, and Wisconsin just a hair underneath that at 21.5. So don't expect a lot of points in this one. Honestly, this game might be one where the first team to 20 points wins. And then we say all that and watch. It'll be a shootout. So make sure to bet the over, because we're thinking that it's going to be a low-scoring game there. Right. We talked about it a lot on the last podcast. So I don't want to go like too much into kind of what we expect, because honestly, there's a lot of question marks, specifically from the offense and kind of what we're going to see here. I would expect a heavy dose of the running game. I think Purdue is really going to try to establish the run. So I think we're going to see a lot of Maccabee and Love. And I would assume you're going to see Hudson use his feet more. And then I think you're going to try to have that set up some play action pass. That is my guess. But again, we really don't know what to expect. We got a guy that's going to be calling plays for the first time ever at the college level. I think you're in agreement with me here, though. I think it's going to start with running the football.
Yeah, I think it has to. We've run it pretty well. I think we've run it fairly well the last couple games. It's probably been like really the one bright spot on offense, if you wanted to identify one. So yeah, definitely expect to see a heavy amount of Maccabee and Love. and then yeah, I mean, yeah, we don't know what to expect in terms of the passing game, but yeah, you do. What I'm curious about is I'm curious if there's been a conversation between Jason. I'm curious if there's been a conversation with Hudson Card about like, hey, like, what do you like doing? And trying to identify, because, you know, this is the first game. It's not like you have a bye week where you have like, you know, additional time to maybe be able to game plan and install some stuff. You kind of have to. I wonder if there's been more of a discourse, a conversation about, hey, like, what are you comfortable doing, and just trying to, from those answers, trying to figure out, okay, well, we can run, like, let's try and do this from a passing game standpoint. And like you said, like, we talked about it a lot earlier in the week, but yeah, I mean, I definitely look at it more as within the offense, kind of like the run setting up the pass. So yeah, I would expect to see a lot of running, some play action. Also expect to see some variation in terms of the routes that you're seeing from receivers. I think more of like some quick passes and whatnot to get Card in the rhythm. Yeah, but I definitely think that that's kind of going to be running is going to be what you kind of have to hang your hat on, which again is going to mean that the line has to perform well. Yeah.
And we'll see. I mean, to your point, I think we're going to see, I wouldn't necessarily call it creativity with the passing game, but just more balance in the passing routes that are being used. You know, I don't necessarily expect like a lot of trick plays or anything like that, but I think you're going to see more different routes being ran, to your point. You know, maybe even throw some screens in there, those type of things. You know, I feel like a broken record, but I think they're going to try to get Max Clair involved early. He would be a guy I would look for, kind of, if they can get the run game going and set some play action, I think you can get Clair involved that way. You know, and you keep waiting to see kind of a wide receiver step up, but then it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. Like, well, a wide receiver can't really step up if we don't, you know, run some plays for the wide receivers to make. But, you know, of the wide receivers, Jerron Tibbs is starting to come on a little bit. He had 5 catches for 46 yards last week. So he could be a guy that you could maybe kind of look to see maybe make some plays. But yeah, I think it's going to start and finish with the run game there, and see kind of what they can get going there. On the flip side, defensively, we've talked about it, like, they just got to make some plays. And it doesn't even, I mean, of course you want to see some turnovers, but even just some negative plays, just to kind of generate some momentum. I know last time they went on the road at Oregon State, that's what they did. They came out and flipped the field right away. So if they can do something like that. But man, they just got to make some plays.
Yeah, you have to. I just feel like if we're sitting here talking, after the game and we're talking and we're able to call out a handful of plays that were made by the defense, I think that like that'll make you feel good. And you'd like to think that from an overall game standpoint that things, all while they might not have played well, and I guess in saying that like we won, but you'll definitely feel better. Like I would like to think if we're talking about some plays that stick out in terms of what we do on defense in a positive way, the game will be close. And that's kind of more than what we could say really about the last three games. So yeah, it's easy to just sit there and say, hey, look, like we need to get some turnovers. And we talked about it again earlier this week, Purdue not having any turnovers. But yeah, just negative plays, tackles for losses. And even like you just, yeah, just like you said with the Oregon State game, Oregon State comes out, decides to go for it on fourth down, you get a stop there. Like that's a big play. That is a noteworthy play. And it's a play that lends itself to the whole like complimentary football, the defense making a stop, which then puts the offense in a better position. But yeah, you definitely, I think between like the run game on offense and then your defense just making timely plays, those are going to kind of be the two things I look more towards in terms of like, I think having a bigger say into how Purdue does on Saturday. If they run the ball well and if like they're able to get stops and get off the field, like Wisconsin against, I believe it was against Alabama, was 3 for 14 on third downs. Now I know Purdue's defense isn't Alabama's defense, but if you can get off the field more times than not on those third downs, like that's going to be pretty significant. And then obviously being able to run the ball, you can control the clock. So yeah, I feel like those are the two things for me that I'm looking at of like, if these things go in our favor, then I kind of like where this could head for, in terms of, how the game ends up.
Yeah, and I think one area actually where Purdue has the advantage, and it seems crazy to say because I feel like for the longest time we've just been begging for Purdue to have like a solid special teams unit, and now according to ESPN Power Index, they have the best special teams unit in all of the country. So that is an area where Purdue will have an advantage. They've blocked a couple of field goals. They've blocked a punt. Their punter on, has done a solid job. There hasn't been any like real big plays return game wise. But the block kicks really kind of jump out both from a field goal and a punt. So that is an area kind of where Purdue will have an advantage. And I feel like that's kind of just going to be the way that Purdue is going to have to play moving forward, is they're just going to have to play quote unquote ugly football and really kind of muddy the game up. I don't think they're going to be able to just get in like a shootout with teams. I think they're really going to have to, again, run the football, control the clock, play smart. One thing I really want to see with Hudson too is just don't throw a pick six, bro. Like it sounds
Just throw
easy,
a
but
regular pick, man, where they just like they
yeah,
catch it and
like
they like go down and like, oh, okay, cool. It's like the equivalent of a punt. But those turnovers, yeah, the pick sixes, they're demoralizing in so many ways. Outside of the fact that it's a turnover and obviously an immediate change of possession, it's immediate points too. So it's like it wipes away any type of momentum or that you might have been like, you might have been building up on a drive. Because we talk so much, as we talked earlier about how staying on schedule and making sure that we're positive plays, leaving yourself in third and manageable, like all those things. And if you're doing that on a drive and you're making some progress and you're in a position where you can at least get points, whether it's a field goal, like whether it's just a field goal or you're obviously like a you're in the red zone up with an opportunity to score a touchdown, the last thing you can have, man, is a turnover that like is a pick six. So yeah, I mean, look. If you're gonna turn the ball over, Hudson, please, man. Just like, of course, we would prefer a turnover-free game, obviously. But it's like, man, like not throwing a pick six would be great. Would be great.
Let's see
like he's trying
if
to
we
one up
can
Al Snappleby.
snap some streaks. You know, like there's a lot of streaks out here, but let's see if we can snap that 3-game in a row pick six streak. That's not one that I think Hudson's too proud of, but like I think to your point, like it's just a momentum killer with a team that's already struggling offensively. You're just putting yourself behind the eight ball. And like even if you don't score, at least if you can like win the field position battle, I feel like that's where
Right.
some of the turnovers have also hurt Purdue. Is like they've turned the ball over on their side of the field, and it's just really hard to ask the defense then to step up there. So even if you don't get a lot of points, if you can just not turn the ball over and win the field possession battle, I think that's really going to go a long way in this game. You know, I think it's going to be whoever turns the ball over less, which is not a good sign for Purdue since they haven't gotten any turnovers this year. So hopefully that's another streak that can get snapped.
Right.
But the other thing that I want to see, and I mean, this, I feel like these are just simple things, but we've been asking for it. Like, just play some clean football. Purdue is the third most penalized team in the country. So, you're not generating turnovers, you're struggling to score, and you're committing penalties at a crazy rate. That's why we're 1-3. So just play some clean football. And again, it just goes back to that field position because, you know, if you can limit your penalties, that's going to go a long ways to winning that battle too.
No, I think you're right, man. Like you don't really have to look very far in terms of like the season stats to understand why we have the record that we have. And yeah, it just seems like it's a lot of the little things. And I really feel like, yeah, you clean up the little things. So you're talking about penalties, turnovers. Obviously, like we were talking about once upon a time, you know, in terms of like your tackling, just doing the basic stuff. That's all stuff that can at least keep you in the game longer. And like you said, like, you know, with our special teams and how they've been, you know, a ray of sunshine throughout this season. From a punting, like when you're talking about punting and whatnot, and like being able to like flip the field or just make sure that, you know, giving the opposing team, not giving them a short field, all of that, it all plays into it, man. It all plays into it. So yeah, just seeing a cleaner game penalty with like, you know, minimal penalties, you know, no turnovers, you know, being able to run the ball, stay on schedule. And maybe, you know, a couple big plays here and there that like all of that can like that's all stuff we like to see and streaks that need to be, I guess, like broken one way or the other, you know, because also on offense, you're not seeing a whole lot of explosive plays. So, you know, getting a couple of those would be nice as well.
Yeah, and speaking of nice, I did just want to highlight and make sure that we give a shout out to Devin Mockabee, and just, you know, give him his flowers because in a year so far where Purdue has really struggled offensively, that dude just continues to go out, run hard, and put up numbers. And I just wanted to highlight so. After the game against Nebraska, he moved into 11th all time on Purdue's rushing list, with 2,096 yards passing, Leroy Keyes. So, anytime you're mentioned with a legend like Leroy Keyes, that's pretty cool. And so just wanted him to get his flowers there for a guy that came in as a walk-on. And the numbers that he's put up, man, it's just impressive and just a credit to him because he's just really just came in, worked his tail off, and he's just a dude that you like to watch because he's gonna leave it all out on the field. He runs hard, man. He very rarely gets tackled the first time he gets hit. Just a really good running back, really good football player. And just wanted to make sure that we gave him a little shout out there, because that's pretty neat honor.
Yeah, no, man, you're like that can't be, like you said, you mentioned with Leroy Keyes, that's significant. And like you said, from coming from where he's come from to this point, yeah, man, he's just been a really hard worker since day one. I think he kind of, you know, he took like all of us by surprise. And the fact that, you know, now what is it, like, you know, 2 years later, he's still out here, you know, running hard as hell, you know, catching out the backfield. Yeah, he's just, and like, you know, he's been kind of the one ray of light, you know, from an offensive standpoint, even, you know, amidst all the struggles and turmoil that we've had. So, yeah, definitely want to give him his flowers, man. Mock's been amazing, man. He's been amazing. And you hope that, like, I think he'll be a big part of, if we're able to go into Madison and win, I think he'll be a big part of that.
That, and just, you know, keeping the offense moving forward, even past Wisconsin through the rest of the year. I mean, absolutely. I think he's both him and Reggie Love, I think, are really going to be focal points moving forward. I mean, Coach Walters, you know, has basically said it without saying it, that he wants to see more balance with the offense. I know we keep going back to the term complementary football, but you got to be able to run the football just to chew some clock, just to give your defense a break there. So I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year, but I think he's going to be a big focal point. And I, you know, there's no reason not to think that he's not going to continue to keep balling out, because it's just what he's done since day one.
He got his shot and literally has run with it.
It's true. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about a little bit kind of, I don't want to say like predictions or anything like that, but this is going to be one. I mean, Wisconsin's beaten Purdue 17 straight times. There are players on the Purdue roster who have literally never seen Purdue beat Wisconsin in their lifetime. One, Sim, I want to say, do you think that we can pull it off? I don't want you to, you know, unless you want to just say, yeah, I'm thinking upset here. But is there anything else you know, we've kind of talked about running the ball, you know, kind of trying to chew that clock up. What else do the Boilermakers have to do to stay competitive in this game?
Man, I feel like the easy answer is just playing clean football and forcing some turnovers. I don't want to say, I'm not going to sit here and say that Purdue doesn't have a shot, because it's college. I mean, like, anything can happen. But I think that, I mean, I think they're going to need some help from Wisconsin. You're going to need, I personally feel like you need to get, I wouldn't necessarily say like a couple turnovers, but you're going to need to get a couple stops. Like, you're going to need to get a couple, like, Wisconsin goes for it on fourth and whatever, and like you stop them twice. Like, you're going to need that probably a couple times over. Like you said, you're going to have to run effectively. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like more Purdue has to get out of their own way. And if they're not, you know, if they're not stubbing themselves in the foot, then I think we'll look up in the fourth, as, you know, as they're finishing up that jump around, and we'll be like, oh, well, we actually, like, we have a shot to take this. And at that point, I think too, the pressure will all be on Wisconsin, because they've seen how we've been playing, I'm sure. They're aware, and they're probably looking at this as like a get right game. So if in the fourth and we're still there, you know, now it's like, oh crap. Like, then they, you know, and they have to make plays to put us away. That's where I feel like, you know, a mistake can happen and something can go our way. So I just think it's more about, like, I think for us, it's just more about making sure that we don't stub our own toe. And then I do think you will need a little bit of help from Wisconsin. But if those two things, if those two facets happen, I, Yeah, I mean, I could see Purdue running out there with a win, and I tell you what, I'll be doing some complimentary drinking with my left and my right hand. You know what I'm saying?
Double fist in there, huh?
Hey, yeah.
Do you think there's an advantage for Purdue that there's no tape or no one kind of, there's the unknown about the
Kansas
offensive
is,
coordinator and the play
yeah,
calling?
I absolutely, well, absolutely, yeah, I do think. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say the same. I was like, I think that there is gonna be an advantage there. But I'm just like thinking, how do you exploit it? And to me, the one thing I'm thinking about, and we've talked about it, is really kind of getting Hudson Card involved in the running game too. And I think you made a pretty good comparison earlier, and I don't want to steal your thunder, so you can talk about it, but that's one way, because there's not a lot of tape of Hudson out there running the ball. I think that's one way that Purdue can kind of switch things up. But curious your thoughts too, kind of just like, one, if it is an advantage, and two, how do you exploit that?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is an advantage because you don't know from a play calling standpoint, you don't know what Jason Simmons, what he's like, what he likes. You don't know, like, okay, well, this is what he tends to like he likes to run this. He likes to run these sets, these plays. You know, you don't know that. So as much as you want to look at the tape and probably understand, okay, look, like just like Walter said in his presser, is that like you didn't do wholesale changes because you don't have the time to basically be able to reinstall a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, excuse me, to install a bunch of new stuff. So there are going to be, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some stuff that we still run, but I think it's just in terms of there's going to be a level of unpredictability in terms of the timing of when certain plays get called. And then, yeah, I think too, just in terms of the variation of play calling, you don't know what Jason will want to call as opposed to what Graham was calling. And I think the, what I think we were talking about too with Hudson using his legs, and I think I assume the comparison you're talking that you referenced earlier was when I was talking about you know, Baker Mayfield. You know, obviously like playing in this Thursday night game, he doesn't like Baker's not someone who you look at and you're like, oh, like he run like he's gonna run a lot. Like you're not sitting there on the FanDuel app being like, yeah, I'm gonna take his over on rushing yards. But you know, when you're watching him, you can see like he understands in terms of time and situation, like when he needs to use his legs. Like, you know, on a second down, it's second and 10, there's nobody open, drops back to pass, and he just takes off and gets, you know, 6, 7 yards. But like, and it's not, you know, it's nothing crazy, but that's 6, 7 yards and now leaves you at a third and 2, third and 3, a much more manageable down and distance. And it opens more up in your playbook in terms of what you can run. You can actually run it, or you can, you know, do some play action and, you know, you can throw a short pass. I just would like to see that from Hudson. And I think that's the thing. I truly feel like that's the thing offensively, that if you start to see him, like, hey, he starts to take off a bit more, and understand too, run and then get down before you take and, you know, avoid the unnecessary hit. If you see that, that's to me will be kind of the first sign of like, okay, like there might be some things that are changing here because he needs to use his legs. He just has to. You can't have it every time that he drops back that you know he's going to throw, or like throw it, you know, or oh, he's gonna, yeah. And if he doesn't find anyone, he's gonna throw it away. Sometimes, man, you don't have anyone open, but like you can go get those 5, 6 yards, you know, and go get those and get down and get out, you know, and then we, you know, we regroup and you know, we go for the next play. But any type of positive play, I feel like for this offense is welcome. And I think that whomever you can get it from, including Hudson Card, like that matters. That matters. Like Hudson Card having a good game doesn't mean that he's thrown for 300 plus yards. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's managing the game, running when you need to, making the passes that we need him to make. So yeah.
I agree. I agree. I think that's a really good comparison, and that's the play that we need. And that's the play, you know, that I play from him that I really want to see, you know, see if he can kind of take that step. So as we kind of put a bow on and wrap up the football talk here, I just want to you know, we don't have to do like any like score predictions or anything like that. You know, like we talked about, this is a team that Purdue has really struggled to win to beat. They haven't in 17 straight games. Going to Camp Randall is never fun. But I do think that Purdue is going to keep it closer than what Vegas says. I know they're a double digit underdog. I'm not going to say that they're going to win, but I think they're going to keep it within one possession. And I really think for two reasons. One, I really think they're going to try to run the football and kind of chew up some clock that way. And two, I just, you know, Wisconsin's offense struggles too. So I think that Wisconsin's not going to be able to pull away. And so to your point, as the fourth quarter comes around, I think the Boilermakers are going to be right there. Now, are they going to be able to make some plays and get it done? We'll see. But I do think that it'll be closer than what Vegas says.
Yeah, I think the only way this game gets out of hand truly is if the same Purdue team from the Notre Dame game shows up, or if we get extremely charitable with the football. So, but outside of that, like I said, and you know, just kind of going back to what we said, if you don't shoot yourselves in the foot, I think we'll look up there in the fourth and be like, oh crap, like, yeah, guys, we can actually take this. We can take this. So, fingers crossed.
We'll see. A lot of unknowns there. But I'm choosing to look at the unknowns as excitement and not nervousness. And I'm going to think positive and say, you know, we really don't know what the offense is going to look like, but here's to hoping that it's going to come out and play well. And they're going to limit the turnovers. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the defense gets at least one turnover. I'm going to say it. I don't know if it's going to be a pick, might be a strip sack, but one turnover is going to have at least one is happening from the defense.
Are you going to do a Boilermaker if they get a turnover?
I don't know about that. I can't make that promise. But I will jump up and down and yell real loud. Right. I can't make that promise.
There we go. That's fair.
So let's turn it over and look at Purdue basketball a little bit. We're not going to dive too much into it. We, as the season gets closer and closer, we will do a full podcast where we'll break down everything we're looking forward to this year. I don't know if you guys know, but last year was pretty freaking awesome for the basketball team. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Had a pretty cool run last year, but did just want to highlight, as we are recording this on Thursday night, media day wrapped up today, October 3rd for basketball, and wanted to give a shout out to Braden Smith. He was a unanimous preseason Big Ten player of the year. And also pretty cool that this second straight year, that the Boilermakers have had the preseason player of the year. Last year's guy turned out pretty well. Don't know if you've heard of him, Zach Edey. He was pretty good.
Did he get drafted?
He was tall. He was tall too. But
I just remember hearing that he was tall and that he's not an athlete. I don't like. Did he get to the NBA?
I think he might be.
I'm gonna have to Google that later.
But shout out to Braden. Just a quick, one more quick thought there. The first exhibition game is actually October 30th. So this month we're going to get Purdue basketball. So if things go real bad in Wisconsin this weekend, just know that this month we get Purdue basketball.
Right. As you're shotgunning your drink in sorrow, just remember basketball's right around the corner.
Right around the corner. And again, we'll have a full podcast where we break it down, but did just want to give a quick highlight there. And as we wrap it all up here, of course, we can't leave out the Purdue volleyball team. They had a big bounce back last weekend. The number 10 Purdue Boilermakers took down the number 16 Minnesota Golden Gophers. And they really did it with some career highs and some records there. Just wanted to highlight a couple quick things there. Raven Coleman set a career high with 19 kills. And then the team as the as a whole had the second most aces in Purdue history with 17. So really, really nice to see them bounce back, get their first Big Ten win there. And they really kind of did it in a dominating way there. So really cool to see them bounce back and get that win.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they had a little rough stretch there with the Jayhawk Classic losing to Kansas and Creighton, and then a tough Big Ten opener against Penn State. But, like, you know, came back and, you know, to win in Minnesota. And it was a, it was a good match. We served very well, like, as you said. And one thing about, like, the fifth set, you know, won 15-10 and had five of those 17 aces in the in that fifth set. And that's, you know, that obviously, like, that's a set that gets played to 15. So, you know, those are free points right there. And then, yeah, just in general, we served rather well. You know, I was able to watch a replay, and we had a lot of our serving was good to a point where it had Minnesota out of they're playing out of system a lot. So their first contact wasn't in the most advantageous position. So then when you're trying to set and then get the, you know, and try to set up for your own kill on the, you know, on the opposing end, that wasn't, you know, a lot of times Minnesota's second and their third hit was just kind of like, okay, shit, we got to get this back over. It wasn't like they were really able to get into any action themselves. So it was nice to see the ladies bounce back, and I'm looking forward to them to kind of get their footing in a Big Ten play.
Yeah. And they'll try to build on that this weekend. They have a couple matches over the weekend. So they go to Northwestern Friday the 4th, and then they return home to West Lafayette to take on Michigan State on Sunday. So good luck to the Lady Boilers there as they try to build a Big Ten winning streak there, and hopefully can kind of get on a run and weather the storm, because they definitely have the talent and the skills. So good luck to the Lady Boilermakers there this weekend with a couple Big Ten matchups there. So that'll about wrap everything up here. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, want to just give a shout out to everybody who downloads this, listens to the podcast, shares it. Thank y'all. Keep downloading, sharing, letting people know. Give us a 5-star review. But again, just want to give a quick shout out to everybody for their continued support. The Purdue team will take on the Wisconsin Badgers at 12 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday in Camp Randall. Be really interesting to kind of see how the offense looks. And regardless of how they look, Tim and I will be there to break it down next week. Hopefully we'll be talking about an improved offense, but we will see. So again, thank you everybody for listening, and Boiler up.
Yes, sir. Also, the game's on B.